Welcome everybody to East to West Weight Loss Surgery, the podcast. I'm April Williams and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason Smith and I'm the East.
We are super excited today to dive into the second part of our identity conversation. Last episode, we dove deep into identity and why it is so important to us as humans and why it tends to change after weight loss surgery. But today's episode is all about the blueprint for actually changing our identity, changing habits, and creating these lasting routines that really support our weight loss goals. So we're super excited to provide you with this kind of blueprint for how we can do it. Today is really, the information comes from three places. Jason and I were kind of talking about this earlier. So we are not identity experts. We're not habit experts. But we know some people who are, and we have read some research on it. So really today's episode is drawn from three places: our personal experiences, what we've gone through, what we found works for us, information from James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, phenomenal resource. I recommend it to everybody I possibly can tell because it's just that powerful. And then the work and the learning that I have done and Jason and I have done with Wendy Rawlings, who is a licensed mental health counselor here in Washington State. She's been a guest on the virtual bariatric meetup. She's been a guest on this podcast now. And I've been working with Wendy for about a year around this work. So Jason and I are definitely not the experts, but we're really happy to share our story, share our experience, and then share what we have learned from people who are the experts.
Right. Yeah. We definitely don't claim to be the experts, but we're just lucky enough to be in good with some of the experts that we can get the information and pass it on. So we're merely vessels to the expert land.
Yes. I love it. Yep. So the awesome thing about our podcast, or what we think is so awesome, is that you can, of course, listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, but we also record via Zoom. So you can actually watch us on our YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and you search East2West_weightlosssurgery, you're going to find our channel. And there you can actually watch this podcast. And today I would absolutely recommend, if you're listening, that you do find the time to pop over and watch it, because we're going to be sharing some graphics, sharing some visuals that might help you better understand what we're talking about and understand the blueprint. So please do know that you can listen and you can view in two separate places.
Yeah, and on YouTube, if you search it, it'll be East2West_WLS for weight loss surgery.
Yes.
So you don't go looking and find something else. You'll find us if you do the underscore.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you, sir.
No worries.
All right. So first things first, we just want to briefly recap our previous episode. If you have not listened to it, it might be smart to start there. But we will go over this real brief overview, because what Jason and I have discovered is that as we have moved through our weight loss journey, so I'm about 10 months out. Jason is almost exactly 2 months out.
2 months out today.
Woohoo! Yeah. We have both realized that we don't know how to live as thin people. We know how to live as fat people because we did it for a very long time. And now that we're starting to lose weight, it can be a little bit terrifying. We get to a point where we just realize, oh my gosh, I don't know how to live as a thin person. And what I have certainly come to understand, and I think Jason is as well, is that any of these habit changes that I'm trying to make, if they don't start with my identity, if they don't start with my core and work outwards, so if I don't go identity, process, outcome, it's not going to stick. Anything that is not aligned to what I believe myself to be or who the person I want to be is not going to stick, because my identity and what I do really have to be clearly aligned. And so many times in the past when I've tried to make changes, I always started with the outcome. I started with, well, what do I want to achieve? And then I worked on processes, but they never stuck because they were never aligned to who I really was as a person, right? I can say that I want to run a marathon, but if I don't identify as a runner, if that's truly not something that I want to live my life as, I'm never going to accomplish that. So the powerful piece to starting with the identity and then working on the processes will lead to the outcomes that we want, because they're aligned. And that can be really hard to do.
Yeah, no, it definitely can. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that we've talked about in the past. It's self-sabotaging without knowing that you're self-sabotaging, because if you don't put the proper building blocks in place, you know, your house ain't gonna stay up.
So no.
That's pretty much exactly what this entire thing is about. Last episode as well. And, you know, this episode just builds on last episode and how we, you know, talked about the changes and how the changes implemented to each of us in different aspects of our weight loss journey that we're in so far. And this is just going to continue to actually show you what steps to take to help build that new identity. So yes. We're really excited.
Yes. Yep. And what was a really powerful piece of learning for me, I think what finally allowed me to break away from what I used to know of myself and the habits and the routines that I used to do, is that I finally realized I really had two very separate identities. I had a public identity that I was pushing out to the world that I wanted people to believe, but I had a very separate and very hidden personal identity. So while I wanted to show to the world that, no, I'm a healthy person, I eat well and I'm active and I'm doing all these things right, privately, that wasn't necessarily the case. I mean, I was active and I did eat healthy some of the time, but it wasn't a majority of the time. So while I was publicly trying to get people to believe that, no, this is what I do every single day, every moment, privately, I knew that was not, that just wasn't the case. So I really had to come to grips with what I was hiding. And I really had to acknowledge that, okay, it's not good for me to have a public and a personal identity. And that I really have to get honest with myself first. And I really need to clearly define what my identity is going to be. And then I had to live that identity publicly and privately. I couldn't have the two anymore because it just wasn't working. It wasn't serving me. It wasn't helping me move forward into this healthy life that I know I have to lead if I want to be successful after weight loss surgery.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of the same thing for me on a different level. I didn't live the outwardly, nothing about me said that I was fitness conscious whatsoever. You know, my heaviest of being 468 pounds, like I've talked about in the past. I was just kind of the funny, jolly fat guy that was just content with being fat because I wanted to eat what I wanted to eat. And I was just big and that's just how it was going to be. And I wasn't really worried about it. I wasn't going to run because, you know, I don't do that. I wasn't, you know, no exercise because, you know, that's just not for me. And I really had to get right with the fact that if this was going to work, that I was going to have to make those changes in my life and become somebody that's conscious of those types of things. If the tool that I was given, I was going to be able to use that and actually make progress in my weight loss and not be one of those people that relapsed or just didn't work at all because I didn't make any changes after the surgery. So that took a really big come to Jesus meeting I had with myself to realize that if I was really going to go through all the trouble of having the surgery, then the least I could do was, you know, build off of that and make changes that not only that my family and other people close to me deserve me to make, but I deserve myself. You know, I owed myself to get better, to do better, to be better. And that's really what I started with in the first place, because I know that if it starts with you, you know, you've got the closest and most deepest connection with yourself. And if you don't cheat yourself, you're not going to cheat anybody else.
No, so powerful, right? So really you did the work without having the vocabulary words to attach to it, but mm-hmm. You very quickly realized, okay, this is not the person who I want to be. This is not my identity. I'm tired of living this way. But for me to really bust out of this and to have weight loss surgery be a success, I have to start at my core and I have to work and I have to work out. Well, and as we learned with Wendy in our last podcast and in our virtual bariatric, you have a 50% chance of relapsing 2 years after surgery. I mean, that's huge. That is such a huge number. And to know that if you really want to be successful after surgery, it's going to take work that you've probably never done before. And that can be daunting, but I feel, and I think you and I are kind of both this way, now that we've done this learning, we kind of see a pathway forward. And even if we look at that pathway as a whole, it's very, And when we're advocating for, no, don't look at this huge thing that's before you. Understand your blueprint to get there and focus on one small piece at a time. And know that this possibly could be a lifetime commitment for you, but that's okay. You have the rest of your life to figure it out and get it right. And now that you have the tool, or now that you're thinking about getting the tool of weight loss surgery, you are armed with something that you have never had before. So armed with your new tool, armed with this new knowledge, armed with a blueprint, man, you can make that 50, you can be on the right side of that 50% and have a really good experience getting there.
Definitely you can. And the way I like to look at it, one of my favorite quotes is, to get something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. And this is exactly this fits this to a T. And with the information that is ahead of us to give, you know, to give out through this podcast today, I like to look at it like it may seem on the surface like it's a bunch of information, but like April said, it's one of those things where you have the rest of your life to complete the journey. We're just giving you the steps to get there. And it's almost like looking out over your journey from A to Z from a mountain above. Like, you can see the entire path. And while it may look like it's, you know, just littered with obstacles, knowing that you can see the end of the path on the other side of all those obstacles is the most comforting thing. Like, you know that there's going to be a lot of steps involved in getting to the goal, but you can see the goal in the distance, in the horizon. Yeah. So knowing that you're going to get there, just, you know, we've given you the map to do so. That's, you know, that should hopefully make this a little less, you know, a little less scary, and knowing the fact that, you know, not only do we give you the steps, but, you know, you have the support around you that's going to help you get there. Just because you don't specifically know how to complete a certain step doesn't mean there's not somebody out there that does and is more than willing to help you get past whatever issues you may be having at the time.
Yep, absolutely. And I could not agree with you more. You probably have never tried it this way, and you have nothing to lose. Give it a try, right? And you might be surprised. You might get the outcome that you were looking for, and it's a new thing. So join us on the journey. Give it a try. Let us give us your feedback. We want to know if it worked for you. We want to know what your recipe was, because we're all about building a fantastic meal, so to speak, from everybody's recipes. So.
Right. Okay. And this is more of an outline for you to be able to kind of, you know, put your own spin on however it is you do the work for the specific step at the time. This is not a blue, just a step by step by step. If you don't follow this, then there's no way you're going to succeed. Nope. You're going to be able to put it in terms for yourself that's going to work, that you'll actually be able to succeed with.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay, so let's dive right in. So the big question, or the thing that we're tackling today, how do I create this new identity, these new habits, and get the outcome that I want, which is healthy, sustainable, maintainable weight loss? Okay, so according to James Clear in Atomic Habits, he says it's easy. It's just two steps. Decide the type of person you want to be, and then prove it to yourself with small wins.
Easy enough.
That's it. Easy enough. And truly, it really is that easy. There are some things that get in the way, but there are some tools and some tricks that we can use to move those obstacles aside and pursue our new identity and our new habits with passion, definitely. So there are some things that get in the way of doing this. As we learned before, our old, quote unquote, bad habits are so hardwired in our brain that our brain has moved those actions to the unconscious level, right? So 80% of our brain is dedicated to thinking in the here and now, in the moment. So our brain is constantly looking for things that it can automate, things that it can move to the unconscious level. So it's freeing up the maximum capacity for our thinking in the here and now. And that is a wonderful thing that our brain does for us, because our brain's always looking out for us. Where we get into trouble is that so many of our old habits, bad habits, unhealthy habits have been automated that we do them without consciously thinking about them. And I Jason, you and I have talked about this before. After surgery, when we're feeling better, something triggers us and we go to the old habit. We go down that old path, right? You get stressed. I know for me, I get stressed and I just automatically head to the kitchen and I will want to make a sandwich, or I will want to eat something that I don't want to eat. Or I, as I experienced earlier in the year, I will reach for an alcoholic beverage without even thinking about it. And I'm doing it unconsciously. So that is an obstacle that can get in our way because our brain is trying to help us. Our brain's going, oh, no, I know what's going on. You're stressed. I've got the solution for that. Here's your road. There you go. And for us to overcome that, it really takes us pausing. It takes us being consciously aware of what we're doing in the moment so that we can pause and go, oh, wait a minute. This isn't the habit that I want anymore. This isn't the habit that is going to serve me anymore in my weight loss goal. I need to develop a new habit. I need to develop a new road that I can take and hopefully get to the unconscious level so that I'm doing these healthy things every single time. Have you experienced something like that after surgery?
Mine wasn't so much stress related because I wasn't really a stress type binge eater or attributed any of that to emotional eating. Mine is gatherings, going out, you know, potlucks at work, those kinds of things like that, where there's an abundance of food, or going to a restaurant where they've got some kind of food challenge or some big, just ginormous, you know, meal. That's more of where my issue comes in. And I have noticed that I will make a bowl of something that's way bigger than I could possibly eat without thinking about it, because it's just my go-to. Instead of grabbing a smaller container and making my meal in that, I'll grab a big, you know, not quite a serving bowl, but like a cereal bowl that's bigger than normal people's cereal bowl. And I'll just mix, like the other night we did taco salad, and I went back to my old bowl and just started making it. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm making a bowl. She was like, you know, damn good and well, you're not going to eat that bowl. And I was like, I looked down at it and I was like, oh God. And I was like, you're right. I was like, I don't even know what the hell I was doing. So that became, you know, her bowl. And I went back and made a little bowl that I could eat, because I was just like, I don't even know. And I didn't even think twice about it. I just will do that from time to time. I just go on cruise control and I'll grab a bowl and I would just be like, and then I look down and normally she's the one that brings it to my attention because she thinks it's funny. But yes. But like last night we went to a small little get together and a little Mother's Day deal, and they had all these ribs and sides and all this food and stuff sticking out. And ribs were the only meat that I haven't tried post-surgery. And I knew going in, I had to literally tell myself the whole time, just get one, because you're not going to eat any more than that. Don't look stupid. Don't go up there and pile a plate on. So, and I did. I went and I got one little tiny rib and I ate it. Everything was fine. But just having to coax myself into remembering the whole time, like I was trying to remember somebody's phone number or trying to remember somebody's name, I had to like repeat it in my head walking up, like, get one, just get one, don't be dumb, just get, you know. Yes. It's really those types of things, because if there's ever, because I used to be the one that would be the cleanup crew, like I'd eat, and then if there was more to eat when everybody had done eating, well, I'm going to try and eat it so you don't have leftovers. Mm-hmm. Like, yep. That was always my thing. So knowing last night, I kept laughing because in my head was like, go see what's left. And then I'm like, no, dummy, you can't eat it anyway. Like, what's the point?
Yep.
So I'm literally having that inner monologue, like, do it, don't do it. Don't, you know, the good angel, bad angel. And yes. I'm just like, there's no point in getting up and going to see what's left because you can't eat it. No. Like, shut up.
But that is your brain automating those habits. That is your unconscious brain going, oh nope, this is what we've done before. And it is so hard to it's hard to break away from that, because that pathway in your brain is so you know, concreted over. That is your super highway, right? As Wendy said, so myelinized that's the way to go. Right. But the good news is that by you pausing, by you acknowledging, by you being conscious, or somebody helping you be conscious about what you're doing, you're breaking that habit. You're breaking that old pathway down and you are creating that new pathway, right? Just those things that you're saying to you, those conversations that you're having internally with yourself, that is you creating that new highway. And sooner than later, that will be your new superhighway. That will be your unconscious brain. So that when you get that signal that you're full, that's it. That I'm not going to look for seconds. I'm not going to go see what's left. That's it. I'm just done. So, right, you really have, you are on that process. You are taking action to recreate a new habit based on your new identity, which is, I'm a thin person. Your identity is, I stop eating when I'm full. That's your new identity.
Yeah, and the most exciting part about it now, being that I'm 2 months out, I'm really starting to get a handle on how it all works and how the new body feels and listening to the cues that my body gives.
Yeah.
I am starting to realize now I can kind of gauge it. Like, I'll know ahead of time so that I don't get to that point where I feel bad or I can feel my stomach actually processing all the food and all those things. Cause that's honestly, like, I've never experienced, luckily, knock on wood, I've never experienced dumping yet. And I don't want to, like, that's always been my goal. Like, I'm trying to not do that ever. So to me, that's the next worst feeling, is to be overfull and feeling yourself, like, your stomach just rolls as it processes everything that you've eaten. And that's, to me, that's the worst thing that I've had since the surgeries happened. So I've learned now to kind of back down slowly and realize when I'm getting close to that point so that I can cut bait and get out.
Yep. No, you are trying to overcome one of the obstacles, which is, right, fighting through those old habits, fighting through that old identity to create a new identity and to align your actions to that new identity. Yeah, no, man, you are well on the way. This weekend we were over at my parents' house for just a small dinner, kind of the same thing. And the food was in the middle and other people were dishing up. And my mom said, oh, you know, can I dish you up some of this? And I said, yeah, great. And she took a big scoop and I said, no, mom, I need this much. And in that moment, I realized, wow, this is powerful for both of us, because I too am working on this new habit, right? I too am working on creating this new pathway, but that pathway also needs to be created in the minds of everybody that I live with and that I'm around. So, you know, for her to dish me up this tiny scoop, everybody at the table was like, oh my God, I can't. Are you sure? Like, that's such a small amount of food. And it's like, no, this is wonderful. Yes, I need an eighth of a cup of that. And I need an eighth of a cup of that. And I would like 2 green beans. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right? But it's rewiring everybody's brain and it's getting everybody in on the process. And that can be so powerful when everybody around you is supporting these new things that you're doing, these new habits, these new processes, right? Your actions. It's very powerful because now they can become a support system for you. And there's no judgment. There's no shame. It's just, hey, nope, this is my identity. And everybody publicly sees it too, right? Yeah. No, my identity is I'm the person that eats very small amounts of food. And that's okay. I'm happy about that. I'm proud of that. I worked really hard to get to that point. And the more excited, the more pride that we take in our identity, the more likely it is that we will continue those habits, because finally our actions align to who we are, or vice versa, right? We are aligned to what we do.
Well, and another thing, like what you had said, you know, the more people around you that start to realize the changes and things like that, they're going to embrace that for nothing more than they're excited that you're getting healthy. Yes. They're going to support your journey because this just means that you're going to be around for the long haul. And I know with my friends and my family, they're all just so excited that I'm doing better and already so much healthier just in the 2 months post-op, you know, they laugh. They may laugh a little bit at the fact that it's such a small portion and I'm such a large individual. that part's funny to even me. So it's kind of funny because they've all seen how I used to eat, because like I said, going at my big deal was gatherings and eating, you know, with everybody else. So they've all seen the way that I've been eating and treating myself over the years. So when they see it now, they just kind of giggle and go on about life, and they're just excited to see the progress that I'm making. So those are the kind of people that you need to surround yourself with post-op if you really want to if you really want to make a go at being successful.
Yes. And I think, you know, it's also powerful to have a compare and contrast. I think most of us have known somebody who has had weight loss surgery and who has not been successful. I mean, I've been around people who I know have had weight loss surgery, and I see that they're eating the same things that they ate before surgery, or they're eating the same amount of food that I was eating before I had surgery. So I instantly knew, oh man, nothing has changed for you, because you're living the same life that you lived before surgery. So, I mean, even we've all seen examples of people who have not shifted their identity, who have not shifted their habits after weight loss surgery. And we know that they will not be successful, because, you know, deep down, we know that we really do need to become different people after surgery to be successful, right? Our actions need to change. How we think needs to change. Our core of a person, who we are at, you know, who we are at our most center, is not going to change. But how we share that core, right, that identity is absolutely going to change, and those habits are going to change.
Well, and a lot of time when you see certain people like that have had difficulties succeeding in this are people that just aren't ready to be honest with themselves. Because a lot of times what you'll find is they'll blame the surgery. They'll blame the surgery. They'll blame the surgeon. They'll blame the surgery's not working for me. I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and I'm still having a hard time losing weight. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, well, I did go to McDonald's and get a biscuit this morning, but at least it's taken me 4 hours to eat the biscuit instead of being able to just eat it in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I still don't understand why I'm at a plateau. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Well, if you're not ready to have those hard talks with yourself and push through and realize that you as a person are going to have to make changes, then, you know, you're going to have a rough time. And not saying that those people still can't be successful later on, but you're not going to be successful without making some sort of change internally, because you have to realize that, no, just because you've had the surgery, just because you go from 3 biscuits to 1 biscuit from McDonald's, that's still not healthy eating. You're still not doing yourself any favors. No. You're going to have to cut out McDonald's altogether, unless you're riding with somebody that wants to eat it and you just drive through and get something for them. But yeah, you yourself, that's not, those two things don't coincide together. No. You can't keep hitting the drive through of all the fast food restaurants and just eating less of what you used to eat and be successful. Now, 10 years down the road, yeah, if you want to slip and have just one small little something, I'm not saying it can't be done.
No.
However, you got to do the work to get to that point, and 10 years isn't today.
Nope. And I'm so glad you said that. That's the third point that we wanted to talk about why it's hard to replace these habits. And it comes down to honesty. You know, I think a lot of times we find ourselves in this like identity purgatory. We're just not honest with ourselves. We're not honest about where we're at. We're not honest about our habits. We're not honest about our identities. We're faking it till we make it. And you will not be able, I feel that you will not be able to make change until you get honest with yourself, really, truly honest with yourself. And only then you can move forward. Because if you're trying to build habits, if you're trying to make changes on a foundation of lies, it's not going to stand. It's just not going to work. So, you know, I think getting to the point where making the decision that you're going to have weight loss surgery, you're being pretty honest with yourself. But yeah, man, to really make these changes, you have to be 100% honest.
That's completely true. And, you know, like we have talked about in the past, just having the surgery doesn't change anything but the size of your stomach.
Yep.
Like, you have got to put the work in mentally. You've got to put the work in physically. Yep. You can't just go have surgery and be like, oh, well, now I like salads when I didn't used to like salads before. I can't stand burgers now. Like, oh, this is crazy how I just don't want to eat any of the candy that I used to eat. Like, none of that goes away.
Nope.
You just have to realize, because like me, myself, there's two things post-op that I've figured out that actually don't agree with my stomach. One of them I'm finding out is lettuce. I have a really hard time processing the lettuce, and it really kind of makes me feel funky, so I gotta cut a little bit of that out. Yeah. And Greek yogurt. But past that, I don't have an aversion to sugar. I don't have an aversion to any kind of meat. Yeah. I can eat whatever I want. Literally right now, I could go in there and eat mashed potatoes, gravy, chicken. I can eat whatever there, whatever you put in front of me, I can eat it. And it doesn't bother me a bit. Yeah, so there's a lot of people that, that have the surgery and can't do those things post-op.
Yeah.
And those, you know, it doesn't sound like they're lucky, but they are kind of lucky because it's going to help them make those changes, because physically it really sucks to feel that after you've eaten something you're not supposed to eat, the feelings you get are terrible. Now, for somebody like me who doesn't have any bad feelings after they eat that stuff, it sucks, because because at that point I've got to do a lot of work to get myself to a point where I don't want to eat those things anymore, because the scale, because my measurements, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to just completely forego all the work that I've already done to get where I'm at. So there's a lot of change that comes with just deciding to have the surgery that you're going to, that you're going to have to put in.
Yes. And I think I, you know, I went into surgery thinking, well, I'll never be able to have carbonated beverages again, or I won't be able to tolerate this and that. And same thing. I mean, I'm 10 months post-op. There's not a single thing that's technically, like, physically off the table for me. And that's a little bit terrifying, because it means that I can enjoy all the foods that got me into trouble before surgery. But that's what makes the work that I'm doing around my identity, right, and changing my habits so powerful. Because if I want to be successful, if I want to be on the positive side of that 50% relapse number, this is the work that I have to do. And thank God I have a tool that helps me, right? Nope, physically I'm done. So my body is doing, it's using the tool well. Now the tool that I have to use for my brain is this work that we're talking about today. It's the identity, and it's the habits, and it's the living the life that I really want. And really it comes down to, right, just choosing what I want most out of life versus what I want right now. What do I want most versus what do I want most right now? And if I can choose the most in my life more often than I choose the most right now, then I'm going to be successful. And that's really, again, that's a super powerful thing that came out of Atomic Habits for me, right? James Clear, he just says, right, that lasting habit change occurs when we start with our identity and then build our habits out from our identity. He says that if our habits are aligned to our identity, we're more likely to stick with them because they're aligned to our beliefs and our values. And that, you know, for me, especially when I read this in the book, you know, he talks about that, you know, we've always attempted to change our habits by focusing on the outcome first, right? So what do I want the results to be? And then work on process. But I never, ever touched my identity. So that was the one thing that I had never tried before. So when I started to make changes based on my identity and I focused my processes, right, those things that I do to live that identity, then the outcome is natural. And I've absolutely seen that. I broke my 100-pound milestone. I've lost 100 pounds in 289 days. And I was able to, thank you. Yeah, thanks. But I was able to do that because all of the things that I'm doing now are aligned to my identity, right? If something crops up in my life, I can say, okay, is that action, is that decision going to help me live my identity? And if the answer is no, I don't do it, right? 90% of the time. It doesn't mean I do it every percent of the time. But again, the most powerful thing that really came out of I keep saying this, but right, is it James Clear says, look, just like in an election, you don't need a unanimous victory. You just need a majority. So most of the time you need to choose the action that aligns to the identity, right? Most of your evidence needs to prove that you are living that identity. You don't need 100%. And I was like, oh, thank God, right? Because some days we just need that comfort. Some days I just have to pick that decision. And it was so comforting for me to know that's okay. Right? That's okay. Because I don't need a unanimous decision. And it busted me out of my old shame cycle, right? Because if I had a goal to do X, Y, and Z 7 days in a row, and as soon as I missed that one day, well, oh, I'm done. The whole thing's blown. And then I would go back to that old habit. And then I'm back in shame. And then I'm just reliving all these horrible things. But to all of a sudden have that information of, oh my God, I made a mistake, or I made a choice that doesn't align to my identity. That's okay. I'm allowed that. I'm allowed a slip. I'm allowed one mess up. But if I look back on the month, or if I look back on the week or on the day, and a majority of the evidence that I have points to the fact that, nope, I made the decisions that aligned my identity, then I am doing it. I am on the path.
Right. Well, and just like we say, the surgery doesn't automatically change you as a person. It doesn't automatically make you perfect either. So you're not just going to have the surgery and go, now I live this completely different life and everything's perfect and I never slip and everything's great. It just doesn't work that way. And like April said, that's perfectly okay. You have to realize that even if you have, you know, one setback, one slip, one whatever it may be, it's a numbers game. It's a majority. If you've killed it the rest of the week or the rest of that day, and one small thing, you know, one small slip happens, you can just pick right back up the next day or the next meal and just keep it moving. As long as you don't let that derail from the progress that you've already made, you will continue to make more progress.
Absolutely. So I've shared, so if you're watching the podcast on the screen, you should now see some graphics. So last week, and really this past month, we've been talking with Wendy Rawlings about just behavior change, right? So when we couple her information with the information from James Clear, it becomes very clear how we can make these changes, right? So James Clear really says there's three layers of behavior change. So if you imagine three circles, right, in each other, that most inner circle is your identity. That's where we need to start. So who am I? What do I want to stand for? What are my values? What are my beliefs? What am I repeatedly doing in my life that anybody could look and say, no, that person is that identity. That person is living life that way. So then from outside of identity, we have our processes. So what are we doing to live that identity? What are our habits? What are our routines? What are our actions? Well, if our identity and our processes are aligned, then the outcome is natural. We don't even need to worry about the outcome because it's going to happen no matter what. So I just aligned those stages of behavior changes to kind of this blueprint for making this behavior change, right? So Wendy says there's five stages of behavior change. Pre-contemplation, which is where you just don't think you have a problem. Contemplation, which is you're aware of the problem and you kind of acknowledge that, okay, I need to make some changes. Then you move into preparation. So you're thinking about what you're going to change, or thinking about the actions that you're going to take to make this new behavior change. And then you move into the action phase, where you actually practice this desired behavior. And then once you've figured out the action that works, then you kind of move into this maintenance phase, where you are maintaining those actions. Right. And the skills that are required in the first four steps are different from the skills that are required for maintenance. And that absolutely is true when we're talking about a new identity and forming new habits. Right. So when you get to the contemplation stage, this is where you really become aware of, okay, I need a new identity, or I need to change pieces of my identity because it doesn't align to who I want to be or the life that I want to live. So in that contemplation stage, that's really where you're thinking about, okay, what do I want this new identity to be? And then once you've kind of formed that identity, then you move to the preparation stage. So then you start thinking about, okay, well, what will my processes be, or what actions will I take to prove to myself and to the world that I am living that identity? So that's really when you start to think about, okay, your routines, or you know, what would I need to do every day, or what steps, what processes do I need to take? And then the action part of that, part of this behavior change kind of step is you actually practice those routines. So you're going to try different things, right? So one of my habits for living a healthy identity is that I have to take my vitamins every day. Well, I really had to figure out a routine or a habit for taking my vitamins, because I was skipping stuff. And that's not going to, if I'm skipping my vitamins, you know, 90% of the time, I'm not living this healthy identity. So I really had to play with, okay, well, how am I going to do that? What routines am I going to follow? And his book, most of the Atomic Habits, is really just about creating these routines and processes. So really all that we're talking about is like today, the first, you know, two chapters, I think, of the book. The powerful parts of the book are really like, okay, how, you know, what are the steps that I need to take to build these new routines? So it takes a lot of practice. It takes taking pieces from other people. It takes, I mean, for me, it was literally, I put my vitamins in multiple places around the house, and then it just became part of my morning and my night routine. So the action is really figuring out what works for you. And once you figure that out, once you're comfortable, then it moves into the maintenance phase. And the maintenance phase is that habit. So if you're maintaining this new identity, if you're maintaining these new habits, you're doing it unconsciously, often, more often than not, right? You have really moved that action to the unconscious part of your brain. You're building this new habit. So that I'm to the point now where I take my multivitamin every single night because it's just a part of my routine, right? I've got steps. I do my night guard, and then I have a sleeping supplement that I take. Well, as soon as I take the sleeping supplement, I also take the vitamin. So now those two are so connected, it's just unconscious. I just always do it. And it's because I followed these steps of behavior change. It's because I experimented with what's gonna be the least painful way for me to do this. And then I found something that stuck. And now it's just automated. Now it's a new habit. So, you know, by following this system, it gives us a very clear blueprint for how we go from the contemplation stage to the maintenance stage. So Jason, have you had any experiences that you can relate kind of these processes to? Something where you started even at pre-contemplation and then you've even gone all the way through to form a new habit?
Yeah, I knew, which I've talked about this before, my pre-contemplation was prior to surgery, probably about a year before I decided to have surgery, was just the amount of Mountain Dew that I was consuming on a daily, weekly basis was just out of control for any normal human. But, you know, like I've said before, that's also how I live my life. So, going ahead with myself and realizing that I was going to have the surgery and really looking into a lot of the things that were told to me that I wasn't going to be able to do post-op, you know, the caffeinated beverages and the, you know, anything that has the carbonation and those types of things. I had to get real with myself and realize that the last thing I needed to do was go through trying to wean myself off of caffeine and post-op and all the other things that I was going to be doing with the liquid diet and everything else, because I've stopped drinking caffeinated beverages in the past, and I know the headaches that come with it on top of the fact that I used to get chronic migraines anyway. And so everything just compounded when I tried to stop before. So to me, I knew that I had to make that step. So I went and bought over the counter caffeine pills and just used those for the first couple of days to kind of break down and relieve the headache some. And then after about the fourth or fifth day, I believe, I didn't take them anymore, and I haven't taken them since. And I haven't even thought, with the exception of like maybe once or twice, thought about even attempting to drink one, but know that I won't again. Because I mean, if it's not water or Gatorade Zero, I don't touch it at all. I don't even do the unsweet tea thing, because we talked about that last episode. I do not partake in the unsweet tea, but I just stay with the water and the Gatorade Zero, and that's about it. I don't even put flavoring in my water. I just drink water.
So really, I mean, to me, it sounds like you even before surgery realized that you could no longer be a person who drank soda or caffeine. So right. you really figured out like, okay, that's a part of my identity that just can't exist anymore. Right. So my new identity is I don't drink those things. So your processing routine was I gave myself some help with the caffeine pills, and I just stopped buying Mountain Dew. I just stopped buying those products, right? That was my process. That was really my routine, right? I'm just not going to buy it anymore. And then you put your practice into action by taking the caffeine pills. And like you said, I only drink water or Gatorade Zero. That's not even an option for me anymore.
Yeah. And now, I remember I had half a 12 pack left, and I gave the rest of them to my son. He put them in his little mini fridge that he has in his room, and he cleared them out. And it was funny, because last night, I was at that little get together, and the people who hadn't seen me since before I had the surgery were offering, yeah, have we got Coke or Diet Coke or anything like that? And I was just like, and I carry my water with me. This,
yes,
my water bottle that I have goes everywhere with me because it's got measurements on the side. So I know how much I've drank or how much I need to drink. So I just raised it up. Was like, nope, all I can have is water from here on out. So it was just funny of thinking that, you know, not realizing that the people that I haven't seen still don't know the changes that I've made. So it's funny having to go through that and still telling people, because in my mind, you just kind of get to a point where you just think, you know, it's been long enough, everybody just knows. But you know, there's a lot of people that won't know, and you'll have to continue to tell people for forever, probably, whether it be wait staff at a restaurant or somebody to get together or however that works for you. You know, you'll have to still remember that. And you know, I'm sure there'll be a time that I may slip and actually think about ordering something different, but I know that I'm going to reel it back to myself and remember that I can only do water. So, and the graphic, the thing with this graphic that I like the most, talking about the changes starting with your inner self, is, you know, that's how all changes are truly made to begin with, is from the inside out, whether, and including the surgery. You start with the inside, you know, they make the changes internally, and then that, your outward, it all just starts to melt outward. So this is just as easy to keep in mind as it is with the surgery. You just kind of relate it all together, and these steps will be easier to accomplish for you.
Absolutely. Yep. So I'll share with you guys the process that I went through with one of my pieces of my identity, right? So like as we talked about earlier, I had to get honest with myself, right? I had a public identity and I had a private identity, and I realized that those two weren't meshing. So, you know, by disappointment, I just thought that after surgery, I would automatically be a healthy person. And then I got to month, you know, 2 and 3 when I was kind of recovered, and I was like, oh yeah, no, I guess I won't just automatically be a healthy person. Weird. Right. So I was like, well, shit. So, you know, so part of my identity is I am a healthy person, right? That is the identity that I want for myself. So I really just sat back and I thought, okay, what would a healthy person do if they were living this identity? And I came up with 4 big things, right? It was nutrition, sleep, activity, and mental strength, right? Those were the kind of my 4 big areas. And then I went even a step further and I was like, okay, well, if I was getting in my nutrition, what would that look like? So it would mean that I would be tracking my food. So I signed up for Weight Watchers again. I absolutely love it. I use the app to track food. I would be getting in my macros. So I'd be getting in my protein and my water. Those are the 2 big things. So obviously I would be tracking those. I'd be prepping meals and I would be carrying around my water bottle, right, everywhere I go. And then I would be taking my daily vitamins. And then I even went, if you're watching this, I even went a step further and I said, oh man, I have to move my vitamins right to my existing habit, because I'm not doing well if I just like set timers or, you know, whatever I was doing. So I did that for all 4 areas. So you can see I've got like things under each 4 areas. And then when I was done with that and I stepped back and I looked at it, I was like, God, that's a lot. And my identity of a healthy person isn't even my full identity. That's like a facet of my identity. And I got a little bit discouraged, but then I just checked myself and I said, you know what? All of these things are not going to happen in a day. So I'm just going to focus on one aspect, one component of this healthy identity. And I'm going to master that. I'm going to get that to a habit stage. And then when that's done, then I'll move on to the next. And then I'll move on to the next, right? It's just like building muscle at a gym. You know, you don't start with like your entire body, you know, one day at a time. Well, today I'm going to work on arms and I'm going to master this movement. And then I'm going to add in this, but you don't just, you know, do it all at once. You gotta baby step it. So when I talked myself down from the ledge, I just said, okay, I'm only going to focus on nutrition. And I've been focusing on my nutrition now for the past 3 months. And that's it. I'm not worrying about the other things. I know that they're there, they're written down, so they're not going anywhere. But I've just been focusing on nutrition. So I track my food, I track my macros, and I work hard every day to get them in. And I have a solid routine now for my vitamins. And guess what? I've broken my plateau. I'm finally to my 100-pound weight loss, and I'm seeing positive results. So I know that the system is working for me. And when I get to a point where tracking my food and my macros and my vitamins are just a routine, right? They're just a part of the daily, the stuff, then I'll move on to sleep. And if I find that my nutrition is starting to slip while I'm working on sleep, then I'm going to abandon sleep for now. And I'm going to go back and I'm focusing on nutrition, right? I'm just going to build these solid foundations. So, you know, for me, this worked for me. I'm a very visual person. I'm very linear. I need things, you know, written out and I need to have a game plan. And this absolutely worked for me. So, right, this is the blueprint that we really want to share with you guys today, because it's a clear path forward for you to define or identify, refine your identity. To know that your identity can have many different facets, and that's okay. But we're all in the weight loss surgery boat together. So if we want to be successful after weight loss surgery, I think Jason and I both recommend that the first facet of your identity that you focus on is everything related to weight loss, right? You've got 2 years to really mess things up. So we need to work hard for 2 years. We need to work hard on this part of our identity that is aligned to our weight loss surgery, or that is connected to our weight loss surgery success, right? Focus those 2 years on that, because that is your window of greatest opportunity. And then once you have conquered that, you've been a successful weight loss surgery patient, you're on a great path, things are myelinized, things are done unconsciously, then you can move on to the other facets of your identity. But if you are really concerned about relapse, if you really want to be successful after weight loss surgery, you really need to start there.
Right. And I agree. And I like what you had said. It basically, if you're working really hard on one aspect, once you get that kind of licked, you can move on to the next facet. It doesn't have to be something that's like, if you're a person that easily gets overwhelmed with too much information, you can take it one step at a time. But if you're somebody that looks at that list and says, I can do little bits of this all together at one time, by all means, you can do that as well. The map is yours to follow however works for you. But knowing that you can work on one, and if you have to come back to it, you definitely can. That's valuable information for everybody to know, that it doesn't necessarily have to be step by step by step. It can be all together, or it can be step by step. You just have to put the work in to make sure that you master each step.
Perfectly said. Yep. So really we have four steps that you can take. First step is really define this new identity, right? Who do you need to become to find success after weight loss surgery? And get really clear with that. Then think about what evidence would a person who is living that identity have to show that they are being true to that. So that's kind of what I did here, right? So if I want my identity to be a healthy person, here's the four big areas. And then take it a step further, right? That step three is really, what things would you need to do daily to produce the evidence that you were living that identity, right? So my big identity is a healthy person. My four big areas that I need to collect evidence in is nutrition, sleep, activity, and mental strength. And then these things that I'm going to do for each one of those areas, this is how I'm going to concretely show that I am collecting the evidence that proves that I am living this identity. Right. And then really your fourth step is just to execute and track. You need to try different things, and then you need to track your progress. You need to collect that evidence that you can point to and say, nope, I am living that identity. Right. It's like, as James Clear said before, you don't need a unanimous vote. You need a majority. But if you don't have that evidence, if you don't have that physical evidence, you don't know. You know, I shared it. I don't know where I shared it. I should think maybe it's on my Instagram feed, but I'll show it in the video, right? I track my habits using a habit tracker. I have a bullet journal. I physically write them down and I track them this way. This is my evidence collector. There are tons of apps that are out there, right? Like the Berrytastic app is one that I know a lot of people use. So you can track on your app. You can track in your own digital format. It doesn't matter how you're tracking it. But you need to see the physical evidence that you are compiling that shows that you are living this very healthy identity.
Definitely. And one of the biggest things we also want to make sure that you know is that not everybody's situation is going to look the same. Your your path is going to be different than somebody else's path. Whether it be the person that's closest to you in the world, your path still may not be the same. Your tracker won't look the same. Like the differences are going to be there. That what we want to offer you today is the format. As long as you take some of these things and are able to implement it in your daily life that's in a way that's going to assist you in your overall goal, that's the most important thing. It doesn't have to look step by step like April's or somebody else that you know that's been through the surgery. It just has to benefit you in the best way that's going to make you successful.
Two of my favorite people on the internet, Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Fields Milburn, the two of them combined to create The Minimalists. I absolutely love listening to them. And a most powerful piece of information that I've gleaned from listening and learning from them is that they always talk about recipes, right? Everybody has a recipe for doing something. And it's so important that we reach out to these people who are achieving what we want to achieve to see their recipe. And maybe we want to take the whole thing as is and we want to try it. We want to see if that recipe works for us. And maybe it will. Or maybe we try, we get their recipe, we make it one time, and we realize that some things didn't work for us. So then we're going to take pieces of their recipe to create our own. That's the most important, I think, piece of learning that has really helped me, to know that I don't need to follow one prescribed system, because parts of that system might not work for me. Well, then I'm just going to trash the whole thing, and I'm going to be so frustrated, I'm going to walk away from it. But I can't. I need to find a recipe that works for me. And if it takes me borrowing and stealing from all of my favorite authors and people to come up with my own personal recipe, then fantastic. But the point is that you continue to try. The point is that here's your blueprint. Now fill it in with the pieces of the recipe that works for you. And don't stop trying until you find something that does work for you. Because this work is worth it. This work is what will allow you to be successful after weight loss surgery. And like what Jason said, it might look right. The pieces are probably going to look different from you than from what they look like from Jason and I. But Jason and I both surveyed the landscape. We looked at people who were being successful. We saw what they were doing, and we tried it, and then we tweaked it until we found something that felt right to us, that clicked for us. And then, man, we ran with it.
Right. Well, and that's kind of the thing. And I love the way that you use recipe when it comes to this, because, you know, everybody knows they've got their own recipe for making whatever dish is their signature dish. And just because your lasagna just because you're cooking lasagna and I'm cooking lasagna doesn't mean we're cooking it the same. But the end result is we both have lasagna. So Yes. That's one of those things where you have to look at it like, you know, you're like we said, your path may be different, the steps you took may be different, but the end result is the same. And you're gonna have to make those tweaks and changes if it's gonna become your own path, because you can't, I mean, you can walk somebody else's path, but how dedicated to that path are you gonna be if it doesn't have things that resonate with you while you're walking? It's just not, it's not a path you're going to stay on if you don't believe that it's in your best interest to do that. And it can't be in your best interest without you having some form of physical attachment to it.
Yep, exactly. Again, it comes back to your identity. That's your interest. Your interest is your identity. You know, and I think the other powerful piece about this blueprint is that it can be applied at any stage of your journey. Right. So if you're just thinking about weight loss surgery, you can be thinking about your identity. You can be thinking about the person that you want to be after surgery, and you can be developing, you can be making those changes now. If you're where Jason and I are in our recovery, right? This is what we're doing right now in the moment. If you've already had surgery and you're struggling, maybe you need to go back and revisit your identity, and you need to make these tweaks so that you start living the life that you want to live, right? Or even if you're in the maintenance phase, but you're struggling in maintenance, here you go. Here's a way that you can get yourself back on track to maintain the weight that you have already lost. So it can be a really powerful tool that we can apply at any stage of our journey and at any stage of our life.
Yeah, I mean, that's like saying that you being 9.5 months out, you can't go back and do the liquid diet for a week or a few days just to shock your system into breaking a plateau that you're on. Or, I mean, like, you, don't abandon anything. Like you, this is one of those things where you start thinking, well, I'm such and such, I'm so far into my recovery, there's no way I could go back to step one and do the liquid diet. And that's
gonna work for me. No,
this is not that. This is everything that went into getting us to where we are now. Everything is on the table. There's at any point you can go back and revisit any of the steps to help you get where you want to be.
Well, and as Wendy said, right, you can move between pre-contemplation and maintenance. You can be in all five stages in 5 minutes or in one day. So this is not like, you know, this is not a one-way direction, because every time that something comes up, every problem or every like aha that we encounter is going to require that we go back to contemplation or pre-contemplation, right? Like with me, I didn't think I had a problem with drinking until all of a sudden I realized I was buying beer at a grocery store after weight loss surgery because I was stressed. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Like, oh my gosh, you know, clearly I need a different coping mechanism for being stressed. So, you know, in that one day I went between all of these different stages. So yeah, I mean, this is not a one and done. Absolutely.
Completely fluid.
Yep. So I'm on the screen. I made a version of my organizer that I used when I was developing my healthy identity. You guys are welcome to steal this, to make it your own. I just wanted to produce something for you if you wanted a starting place. This is available to you if you go to the East to West Weight Loss Surgery Instagram page, or you go to my personal Instagram page, Actively April. There's a link to this document there that you can download to your computer. You can print it out. You can handwrite it. You can do whatever you want. So if you too develop a graphic that was really helpful for you, we would love for you to share that with us so that we can share it with everybody else. Because again, what worked for me might not have worked for you, but if you came up with something that was awesome, I want to know what that is, because there might be somebody else that is wanting that information. So
definitely.
Yeah. So this is here for you. There are definitely some keys to success that I think are helpful that people know going forward. Right. So there are some wonderful resources out there. The three that we absolutely recommend is, of course, the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. There's another book called The Willpower Instinct by Kelly McGonigal. We don't like the title, but I think once you read the book, you'll quickly realize that this is a very powerful tool that we can use to help us understand what willpower is. And then, of course, Wendy Rawlings, she's the licensed mental health counselor that I've been working with for a year. She's the woman that's been joining us on our podcast and on our virtual director sessions. Phenomenal resource. She has free resources on her website. She's also a nationally licensed distance counselor. So if you're thinking that bariatric counseling might be something that you're interested in, I highly recommend that you reach out to her. She specializes in bariatric patients. So she herself has had weight loss surgery. She's lived it. She's been through it. Her counsel is just amazing. So I can't recommend her enough. Besides from these resources, there are really kind of three big things that we hope that you take into account as you start this journey. Focus on the part of your identity that will most serve your weight loss goal, right? So like we talked about, there are many facets to your identity. Go ahead and define all of them. But when it comes down to start the work, we encourage you to start with what is going to most help you in your weight loss journey, right? You got that short amount of window to make an impact. Let's focus on that right away. Understand that this is probably a lifetime commitment for all of us, right? Really defining our identity, really polishing our identity is our life's work. So don't look at this and be overwhelmed and think, oh my gosh, I need to get this done in 2 years. You don't. That's not what we're trying. That's not the message, I guess, that we want to send. But what we do want to send is that if you know some important dates, if you know some important goalposts, you can make the decision that's best for you. So just know that you have a lifetime to get this work done. Don't worry about getting it all done at one point. And then the other key to success is start small. Really chunk this work out and focus on one tiny chunk at a time. Don't worry about, you know, the whole identity or a whole facet to your identity. Really chunk it out, start small. And you know, by tracking and by really taking notes of what you're experiencing, you can more quickly identify maybe an area that needs to be tweaked. Instead of just thinking, like for me, I'm famous for telling myself I got in all my water when in fact I only had a sip all day, So, right, if I don't track it, there's no evidence there. So, you know, really figuring out those systems that work for you, trying different recipes, pulling in different components, and making a system that really clicks with you, that really resonates with you is important.
Definitely. And that's really all the whole point of today is just making sure that we break it down small chunks, little bits. It's a lot of information to take in, you know, just on top, just from looking at it today. But it's your own, this is work at your own pace. It's everybody's favorite school term. Everybody work at your own pace. You get done when you get done. That's really the biggest part of it, is just doing it when you can do it. But the point is that you are doing it. As long as you're putting the work in, this is going to work for you, and the results are going to be undeniable. They just are.
Yep, proof is in the pudding, right? As they say, the proof is going to be in your tracker. The proof is going to be in the evidence that you're producing, and the proof is going to be in the weight loss or the maintaining of your weight that you are experiencing. So you're definitely going to have some powerful pieces of evidence, when you are living your identity.
Yes, so, definitely.
Yeah. So we know there was a ton of information shared today. If you have any questions about it, of course, please, you can reach out to Jason and I. We are here to support you. And we would love to follow along in your journey. We know that this is a huge piece, and we know that it can be overwhelming, but the whole reason that we created East to West Weight Loss Surgery so that we can be a support for the community. We are here to support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. So hopefully all three of those things came across in today's episode.
Absolutely. That's what we're going for. And, we're resources if you need them. We have access to other resources if you need them. Just please reach out and let us know if there's anything that we can do to assist you. We'd be more than happy to do so. We've gone over this information with Dr. Wendy Rawlings, like April had said. So, we're versed in the information. If you need further information, we can get you in touch with Dr. Wendy Rawlings. Like there's things we can do to assist you, even if it's something that's outside of our scope. Because like we'd said before, we're definitely not experts, but we know a couple. So we got you covered.
We got you. All right, my friend. I think we're to the point in the podcast where we ask each other a surprise question. So
yes.
Yep. So Jason and I, we formulate these questions on our own. We don't know them ahead of time. We want to make sure that we are projecting our candor, that you guys know that we're not afraid to talk about things that maybe come up. And sometimes when you're just spitballing questions, you learn the best part of information. So I have a question lined up. Jason, you ready to go?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. So I think I'll ask the question first. So now you're 2 months out. You've lost 87 pounds. Okay. I want to know today, what's scaring you right today? What's scaring you in this moment that has to do with your weight loss surgery?
I think I've moved past all the scary points and realized that I'm not going to die if I don't have all the things that I thought that I would die without before surgery. The scariest thing for me, I think, right now is I've set a goal for myself because I wanted to have 100 pounds lost by the time my son was supposed to graduate on May the 20th. I'm 12 pounds out, and I'm afraid I'm not going to make it. But what's more, it's kind of funny that I was afraid I wasn't going to make it because I know in my previous mindset, like we had, discussed a little bit earlier, once you miss a goal like that, you just, the wheels tend to fall off the wagon and it's just all abandoned at that point. I know that's not going to happen, but I know that there will be disappointment on my side because I will have thought that I could have done something different or done something better, or had I just done this. I know those types of things will kind of creep up a little bit. So that's probably the only thing as far as scariness goes that I'm thinking about right now. But I've done really well, and this is a tribute to the work that you and I have done building these episodes like we have. They've helped me a lot to do a lot of processing work that I think would have taken me a lot longer had we not have done what we've been doing in the conversations that we've had. So I attribute a lot of the growth that I've had so far to us and to you. But yeah, I think honestly, that's probably the scariest thing for me right now is just thinking that I may possibly miss the goal by like a pound or two and how bad that's going to suck.
So what's your plan? Because I know you've been thinking about it. So when that disappointment comes or when that setback comes, what's your plan? How are you going to deal with it?
I just know, and today is actually going to, what we've talked about today is actually going to assist in that. I've already kind of started formulating it in my head that if it is to happen, that I know that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And just because I didn't hit it by the 20th, doesn't mean I won't hit it by the 21st or the 22nd. Because in my mind, when I originally set these goals, I know as a person to myself, if I miss a hard static goal that I set, that that's a disappointment. If I set it as more of a soft goal or kind of something that I hope to get to, I'm a little easier on myself if something doesn't go that way, because I know that I had the plan in mind post surgery.
Yeah.
That's, I started that day one.
Yep.
And I know that when I hit, because I started, for those of you that don't know, I started at 468 pounds on March, on February 26th, when I started the liquid diet, I was 468 pounds. And post surgery, I set the goal that I wanted to be at this 100 pounds lost. Well, I hit 390 and I stayed at 390 for almost a week.
Yeah.
Whether it be bumping back up to 391, one day I hit 392, then I got back down to 390, and then it was just kind of yo-yo that whole week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a loss of time. Well, now that I've made it down to, you know, to 381 pounds, I'm like, the 80s mm-hmm. were fine. Once I hit the 80s, I was good. So now I'm like, well, I'm stuck because yesterday I was 381. Now I've been to 380. I gained like 6 ounces overnight, which is just water weight I didn't lose. But I look at it like it's just one of those things that I'm going to have to keep processing and know that it may not happen just because my body may decide that it's not time.
Yes.
And you can't fight those types of things when your body decides that it needs to a reset. And that it's lost enough and it needs to kind of gather itself again so that you can continue to lose more. I know there's certain things that are going to be out of my control, which is why I didn't set such a static goal for myself.
Yeah.
And those are things for those of you that are post-op, you're going to have to understand, like, the weight's going to come off. It just isn't going to happen in 2 or 3 weeks. The changes, you're going to be able to see the changes in the pictures that you take, the befores and the afters. It just may not be overnight. So those are things that you can't let those things derail your progress, because it's all a part of the journey.
Absolutely. Yep. You, for so long, I didn't listen to my body. And part of me overcoming my disappointments was that I had to listen to my body, right? My brain might've set a date, but that's the one area that my brain and my body are never going to be on the same page with. And that I know up here, I've done everything that I can do. And now I know that my body is doing everything it can do. And this is going to dictate when that goal happens, but I can still have that goal. And if I'm listening to my body and if I'm using my head, I'm going to get there.
Definitely. So my question for you is, what was the biggest surprise part of the reshaping of your individual process? What was the biggest surprise for you? Something that you may not have thought you had to work on, mm-hmm. but that just kind of popped up.
I remember the moment vividly. I was actually doing my second or third reread of Atomic Habits. And I was really struggling with why I was so angry. And I was struggling with why am I stalling? And, you know, why am I having a hard time getting in my macros? And, you know, just I'm so angry. And there was a part of the book and it said, like, look, actions that aren't aligned to your identity aren't going to stick. And I read that line many times, but for whatever reason, I recently had a conversation with Wendy. All of a sudden something clicked in my brain and it was like, hey, dummy, it's because you have two identities. It's because you have a public identity and a private identity. And you've been lying to yourself and lying to the world for so many years that you don't know what is freaking real and what is not real. And I just thought, oh my God. Like, I can't believe that it took me, you know, I can't believe that I had convinced myself that it was okay to have two identities, or I had convinced myself that my public identity was actually my private identity, because it absolutely was not. And what was really terrifying is that I realized, as an addict, as a food addict, I had worked so hard to prove to the world that I was not an addict, right? Like, any addict does everything they possibly can do to like avoid the truth, right? Like, drug addicts do, everybody, you know, right. You're addicted to something, you're gonna work really hard to prove, no, I'm not, that's not the case at all.
Right.
And I just thought, oh my God, I have been faking it till I make it for so long, and I have made it now, and this isn't what I thought, my reward is not what I thought it would be. And it was just really, it was really devastating. It was very surprising. And I remember I took copious pages of notes. I was like journaling to myself basically. And I was like, and I kept writing like, oh shit, oh shit. You know, cause it was just like, you know, I'd finally realized like, oh my God, you know, like, oh, this is going to be brutal, because now I have to acknowledge to the world that I've been living, you know, like two, like dual lives type of a situation. And I remember thinking like, I don't know if this is right. This is just what I'm thinking. And then my next session with Wendy, I shared it with her. And I just remember Wendy was just like, you know, shaking her head in awe, you know, and she was like, wow, you've unlocked what you've needed to unlock. Like, that's it. What you're thinking is correct. My medical training is telling you that you are correct. And she just said, you know, you and I were talking about the same thing the whole time, but we weren't using the same vocabulary. And Wendy just said, you know, and Wendy just said, now that I know your vocabulary, I can use that when we have our conversations. And it was just so like surprising. And it was very much a relief. I mean, it was equally devastating as it was equally a relief for me. And that really was what opened, you know, the box for me, so to speak. And ever since I've been unpacking that, and ever since I've been doing the work that we've talked about today, I've seen some really big changes in me. A lot of the anger is gone. A lot of the shame is gone. A lot of the frustration is gone. And in replace of that is really a lot of freedom. You know, and I think again in James' book in Atomic Habits, I think he says like, look, habits are not confining, habits are freeing. And I absolutely get that now, because when my actions align to my identity, it's very easy. And I have even more time to dedicate to the things that I want to do, because I'm finally, everything, it's a well-oiled machine now, right? There's no resistance. There's no anger. It's just, nope, you know, this is what it is. And I think, you know, I also realized too that years, you know, and all my years before weight loss surgery, I was really angry at how I would have to live my life to live at a low weight, you know, or like, oh, I don't want to eat this way for the rest of my life. I hate that. You know, I just fought it. And I did realize the other day after going through all of this work, I'm really happy with how I eat now. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. So it's just, very surprising. Very good.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That says a lot of valuable information for some of those that may be on the fence with what they're struggling with. That may have given somebody a key they need to unlock a part that they weren't ready to deal with.
Who knows? The coolest thing along my journey is that I've just found the more honest and public I am about what I'm thinking, the more people are like, oh my God, I think that way too. Or, oh, I never thought about that. And it's just, it's amazing to me the power of our own personal stories, right? We don't know the impact that our personal stories have on other people until we start sharing them. And then nothing but good things come from them. So
absolutely. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. All right. I think that wraps up our episode today. I feel like, whew, that was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot to process, but it was also good in a way to have that internal insight to kind of figure out exactly what, you know, where each other are struggling with, because we help each other work through stuff without even knowing it while we're doing this. So yep. It's therapeutic for us as well as hopefully helpful to you guys. We just appreciate you being along for the journey.
Yep. So as always, we want to produce things that are valuable to you, valuable to the community. If there are topics or things that you would like us to explore or dig into or dive into, please let us know. We only want to be providing value for this community, and your feedback is critical to that. So if you like this podcast, if you like watching the video, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, and give it a review. We're super excited. We have 2 5-star reviews right now on Apple Podcasts. We're so thrilled about that. So if you enjoyed this content, we would love a review. And of course we would love your feedback.
Definitely. That's going to make the biggest, the biggest assist to us is going to be the reviews and the subscriptions and people downloading the podcast. We definitely appreciate it. We hope that the content we're bringing is as valuable to you guys as it has been to us. We also just appreciate all the love and support that we've had so far. Please, like April said, please reach out to us and let us know if you guys have any ideas. If you guys have something you're struggling with and would like an episode on it, please let us know. We'll research that. And, you know, depending on how involved you want to be, we may bring you on as a guest so we can talk about it together, because we're also going to be doing that. This isn't just where we bring on experts or just talk to each other. We're going to be talking to some people in the community as well. So. Definitely reach out to us and let us know how we can further assist, or any information that you guys might be wanting that we haven't touched on yet. We'll be glad to do an episode on it.
Yep. Super excited. Super excited about all the possibilities that are out there.
They are many.
Awesome. There are. Yes. All right, Jason. Well, it's a pleasure chatting with you, and I'm excited to talk.
Yes, ma'am. Me as well.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye-bye.
Bye.